Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello to all our listeners.
And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your financial and prayerful contributions that have kept us on the air for close to 50 years. We can't do it without you, and we appreciate all that you do. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. You got just a couple of quick announcements before we get going here. Tomorrow, Thursday, May the 4th, is the National Day of Prayer. And there will be a gathering at Rose Tree Park in Media. So all our friends in Delco want to go to Rose Tree Park in Media. It's at 11:30 tomorrow, Thursday. It says, join us in the park as we pray together for our nation. And God knows this country needs those prayers. So if you're available tomorrow at 11:30 and can get to Rose Tree Park in Media, you may want to swing by and join them in prayer. Also coming up this weekend, yours truly is directing a retreat out at Malvern. It's a serenity retreat for women. There is plenty of room available, so much room. Fortunately, they did not cancel the retreat, even though they didn't have the minimum number required. But if you or you know anybody else, women that are in recovery or affected by addiction, you can let them know their registration is still available. But you'd have to do it today or tomorrow. And come out and join us for the weekend.
All right. I was thinking, Ken, blessed will you be among women.
Yeah, I got a friend of mine. I don't see him all that often anymore, but he was married and he had four daughters. And any time I asked him how he was doing, that's exactly what he said. I'm blessed among women.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Blessed Mother be right there.
But I'm looking forward to it. It'll be the first opportunity I've had to direct a retreat. Hopefully not the last, it should be good, yeah. God's got a sense of humor, though, to give me a group of recovering women as my first group, but looking forward to it.
Does have a sense of humor. Amen. He made you.
There you go. Anyway, no, it's funny. I'd sent a text message to a small group of friends, you know, asking for prayers leading up to it, and then the one person just said, whatever you do, just don't pee your pants. And so I wrote him back and said, I'm going to stop on the way and get the pens. But not to make light, but, you know, everything happens for a reason. And we do this, we've been doing this show for Saints and Sinners for, I think, either 6 or 7 years. It might be 7 years now. And, none of the saints, thought that they would end up where they ended up. And, talking the last couple of days, regarding my son, he gets a job teaching in a Catholic grade school. And, you talk about God working magic and in the ways that he uses to bring people closer to him. And, if you had asked me a couple of years ago if Michael would ever teach in a Catholic school, no way that's ever happening. And yet he starts, in a week and a half, so...
So many blessings, Ken.
Yeah, yeah.
Thinking of Megan and Stephen, too. Their 10th anniversary today.
Yeah,
God
that's right.
Bless them.
Yeah, and who knew, 10 years would go by so fast.
Gosh,
you celebrated the wedding for us. And
yeah.
I was thinking 10 years, and I've only known you 14. So, it was relatively early on where I, hooked you into doing the wedding for us. And,
Beautiful
good stuff.
Wedding.
Amen. Very good. All right, well, before we go any further, we should probably start with prayer. So we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life, prayer, and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
And we continue in our prayers to Ken, a little Luke Brendan, Tuhill, and Robert Daly through the intercession of Matt Talbot and our Lady of Recovery.
Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to Thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to Thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to Thee and for all those who do not have recourse to Thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to You.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls,
may the souls
of, the
faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen. Amen.
Especially upon Bridget Lutz, whose graduation ceremony will be on Friday. May she rest in peace. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially once your calls, as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour, when we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. If God's touched you in a particular way in the last couple of weeks and you want to share it with Father and I and our listeners, be sure to give us a call as we go to the break. We'll give out those numbers again as we get closer to the bottom of the hour. We are in the month of May, Mary's month, and the saints in the liturgical calendar for this week, there's a few. On Sunday, the 30th, was Pope St. Pius V. On Monday, the 1st, St. Joseph the Worker. Yesterday, the 2nd, St. Athanasius. And today, we celebrate the Apostles, St. Philip and St. James. We missed a couple of saints that we have a particular fondness for last week. So rather than talk about any of the saints from this week, we're going to take a step back and begin with St. Louis de Montfort. So St. Louis Mary Grignion de Montfort was born on January the 31st in 1673, and he would die on April the 28th, 1716. So he was just 43 years old, but what he accomplished in those 43 years, you know, we still talk about a lot today. He's probably most well known for his devotion to Mary and the books he wrote regarding that devotion, True Devotion. And he's also written some books about the Rosary and what have you, but everything with St. Louis de Montfort began and ended really with the Blessed Mother. Of course, Pope John Paul II would adopt his motto, Totus Tuus, which means completely yours. He was born in the village of Montfort, thus his name, St. Louis de Montfort, or St. Louis of Montfort, which was close to Rennes, France. And he would, when he grew older, he would actually identify himself by the place of his baptism as opposed to his family name, which was Grignion. He was educated by the Jesuits and the Sulpicians and was ordained a diocesan priest in the year 1700. He would begin preaching parish missions around Western France and then would minister to the poor, which ended up having him travel and lived really simply, which at the time the church wasn't too keen on. I guess they weren't into the simple life. In his preaching, he attracted thousands of people back to the faith and was one of the early adopters of frequent and even daily Holy Communion. And think about the people that we hang out with now, Father, and the number of them that are daily communicants. And this really wasn't something that was practiced prior to the 18th century. Anyway, he would have him have people receive often in imitation of the Virgin Mary's ongoing acceptance of God's will for her life. He would found the missionaries of the Company of Mary for priests and brothers, and then the Daughters of Wisdom, who cared especially for the sick. As mentioned, his book True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin has become a real classic in explaining Marian devotion. Louis would die in Saint-Laurent-sur-Sever, where a basilica was erected in his honor. He was canonized in 1947, and his feast is celebrated on April the 28th, which was last week. You know, and just, you know, my own involvement with St. Louis de Montfort, you know, his 33-day consecration was the last Marian consecration I did. I did a number of them before that, including the Miraculous Medal consecration. My initial one was with the Knights of Immaculata back in 1997, sometime around 2007 or 8, I think, is when I did Father Gately's 33-day consecration to Jesus through Mary. But the last formal consecration I did was actually around the same time with you and you, Father, and Michael Murphy, when we did it together, probably back in 2015 or 16. And I can chalk just about everything I am today, everything I do, you know, where I've been led, it goes back to that initial consecration to Jesus through Mary. And I know, even before that, when I first started praying the rosary in earnest back in 1993, that the Blessed Mother has carried me ever since. And I just think of all the souls that St. Louis de Montfort has touched, you know, over the past couple hundred years, you know, through his teaching on Mary, and especially through his formula for the 33-day consecration, and the number of lives that he impacted. And I think if you'd had asked him when he was alive if he thought he would ever have that, make that kind of impact on the world, he would probably think not. And, you know, it just goes to show what, you know, when we follow the Lord, the impact that we can have. And some will be greater and some will be lesser, but all of us can certainly make an impact on those that we touch day in and day out, you know, through our own devotions and consecrations and living out that Christian life. Father?
Yeah. You know, Louis de Montfort, one of the greatest devotees of the Blessed Mother, along with Maximilian Kolbe. I even like to add Matt Talbot to that, Ken. Mm. He's always praying the rosary. Something that Matt Talbot said, that no one knows the mother that Mary is to me. And I can say that myself. No one knows the mother that Mary has always been to me. And Louis de Montfort, just, you know, it's that fiat, the will of God. That's what's constant in his life. And he did all kinds of struggles in his priesthood, all difficulties. You know, he's even put out a diocese and all. But yet, he just took it as God's will. And he just kept going on, and finding that peace and joy in that fiat of Mary. Let it be done to me as you say. And I often think what Maximilian Kolbe said, that God, the Holy Spirit, does not act without the Blessed Mother. And we can say that about the Father and the Son. The Holy Trinity does not act without the Blessed Mother. She is the mediatrix of all graces. It all comes through her. And we need to go back to God through her. And I really believe at the end, that's exactly how it's going to happen. We're going to go through Mary, right through the heart of Christ, to the Father, where we come from and where we belong. But what I take so much, you know, the rosary, like he wrote the True Devotion and consecration. I myself, like you, Ken, that was my first consecration with the 33 days of St. Louis de Montfort. And then, of course, it was the Knights of the Immaculata and then Father Gately's 33 days. And I actually went back maybe a few months ago and did the True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin again. But the secrets of the rosary, you know, they're so powerful, you know, always like holding the Blessed Mother's hand and her heart. But the key word here, Ken, is fiat. And think about the Calvary scene that he had put up. They took a year, Ken, to make this Calvary scene. and it was huge. It was the crucifixion, Mary, of course, the saints, the soldiers. He had all these images around it on this high hilltop. And the bishop had promised to come and to bless it, consecrate it, dedicate it. And he didn't show up that day, and all the people are waiting for the bishop. So he went to the bishop's residence, knocked on the door. He said, "We're all waiting for you, Your Excellency." He says, "I can't come. I cannot bless it because the king forbade me to do so. But also the king wants you to tear it down because he sees it as a threat to the kingdom." Louis de Montfort went back and he said to the people, "It was God's will that we build the Calvary scene, and it's God's will that we tear it back down." It never fazed him. Nothing fazed him. Maximilian Kolbe, I mean, they're like the two greatest devotees of the Blessed Mother. Maximilian Kolbe, no bad news. I mean, look how he was beaten like a dog with the Germans and all. Took it all to heart. You know, prayed for his persecutors. He was like already in heaven, living that peace and then that joy. You know, but that fiat, Ken, that we all should learn from our Blessed Mother. Yes to God in all things. And fiat means like a velleity is like half-hearted. Okay, maybe no. You know, with all my might. Yes, God, let it be done to me as you say. And not to be afraid of God's will, but to be afraid of our will, because my will gets me in trouble. In his will, I find peace, I find joy, I find happiness, I find the fulfillment of all my desires, because that's what God wants for me. He wants me to be a saint. He wants me to be totally conformed in his will, just like Mother Mary, and be totally possessed with God, you know, to be one with God, one heart, one mind, one will, you know, just totally and completely. And this is what these great saints really teach us, this, you know, this love for Mary, this fiat. Yes, yes, let it be done to me as you say. But there's another story about Louis de Montfort that I really liked. You know, I think our Protestant brothers and sisters can really maybe appreciate this as well, that, you know, I don't need the Blessed Mother, I don't need the saints, I can go directly to God. No, we don't go directly to God. We need the priesthood, we need one another, we need the Blessed Mother, we need the saints, we need all the means, all the tools of the church, they're all means, and we need Mother Mary. And he tells the story about someone wants to bring an apple to the king, that the apple, he can try to bring it up to the king. Well, that apple doesn't look so appealing, but take that apple, cut it, and give it to the Blessed Mother. Let her cut it up in different pieces. Put it on a silver platter. Take you by the hand and go up to the throne, to the King of Kings. And now that apple looks quite appealing to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. You know, with Mary, we're so close to God. We're intimate with God because the Blessed Mother is so intimate with God. She is the daughter of the Heavenly Father. She's the mother of the second person of the Blessed Trinity, and she's the spouse of the Holy Trinity. Again, I remember Maximilian Kolbe saying something like that Mary is a quasi-incarnation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is her spouse. She's married to the Holy Spirit. And from that marriage comes the child, the God-man, Jesus Christ. But there it is that, you know, Mary is, you know, in marriage, the two become one. She's one with God. And when we're one with Mary, we too are one with God. I think about John Vianney's, and I do this a lot, Ken, and you know it. A lot of people know that very well, his very well story to do God's will. When John Vianney, St. John Vianney, was blamed for fathering a child, and the villagers came with the little infant, and they came up to John Vianney there in his rectory, and they called him a hypocrite and a great sinner, and this is your child, and you take care of this child, and you raise this child. And he takes the infant in his arms, and he simply says, "Very well, very well." And he gives the child to a maiden who will support the child for a year. And this woman takes care of the child. But a year later, they find out that the true father of this child is the next-door neighbor. And so they're all regretful and penitential, and they come back to the saint at the rectory, and they said, "Please forgive us, we're sorry, but could we have the child back?" And he takes the little boy, the toddler, and he says, very well, very well. It never fazed him because it was God's will. God never permits anything unless there's a greater good that would come for us. And I think we all have to learn that, Ken, mm-hmm. because there's things during our day that are not going to be according to my will, but they're going to be according to God's will. Whether it's in traffic or little things happen to us, and they happen towards my disliking, they seem to disturb me. Yet, if I just stop and realize that God is doing this for my benefit, and I think of John of the Cross, when things don't go well the way I want them to do, there's Jesus standing before me with a chisel, and he's chiseling away my pride, my egocentric, you know, and he's giving me a theocentric chisel. And he keeps chiseling them. Sometimes, Ken, I have to see Jesus with a jackhammer. Mm-hmm. You know, just not chiseling away, but getting this pride out of me, getting this self-centeredness out of me. Get it, Lord, get it all out. And how does he do it? Sickness. Things I wouldn't ask for sickness. And, you know, I wouldn't ask for these inconveniences, but they happen. And he lets them happen for a greater good, to really transform me and purify me from this world into his, and my heart becomes one with his. That's all God wants for me. That's all Mary wants. He wants my love. He wants me to be one with him, fully with him. One heart, one spirit, one will, one mind. And that I can love him wholeheartedly the way he loves me, and to love my neighbor as myself. That's the love of God. The will of God is that I love even my enemies, even my persecutors. And if I can truly love them, nothing will bother me because God's will is being done in my heart and in my life. So I just get so much from De Montfort and Maximilian Kolbe, even our patron whose birthday we celebrated yesterday, Matt Talbot, you know, their love for the rosary, Ken, all about that rosary, you know. Mm. And I think about how they would hold that rosary. I said this last night. And I often take the rosary, you know, and I hold it up to the crucifix or to the tabernacle. And I really sense Mary holding my hand with the rosary to her son. And then I ask him for what I want, you know, that it's according to his will, that I can find that total peace, that joy, that repentance, that love that he has for me, that I may have that same love for him and be totally transformed in his will. And then ask for whatever you want. Because what we're going to ask for, it will always be according to his will. And his will is always the best for us. It's always joyful, peaceful, and glorious, Ken.
Amen. We've got a caller on the line. We're going to go to Carol. Hello, Carol.
Thank you so much. I'm very inspired by your words, and it sort of hits home right now. The more I listened, I wanted to talk about my otter God moment, which I can't even compare to what you've just said, but I had a situation where I was very, very sad, and I swim every other day, and while I swim, I usually say the rosary, but this particular day, I was overcome with sadness, you know, too self-centered, overcome with a personal tragedy, so before I started my rosary, I started saying, God help me, God help me, God guide me, for at least the first 10 laps, and then I started my rosary. When I finished, I asked the person next to me if I could cut across his lane to get to the ladder, and he obliged and let me do that, and I thanked him, and then he started talking to me after I got out of the pool, and I find out that he's a pastor, and he reminded me that this week is the National Day of Prayer. And I was in such need of a sign from God, and I never thought I would get that sign. I wasn't sure what was happening. I just asked God to give me strength, and it came that fast as I cut underneath the rope, and the pastor was in the lane next to me. Is it odd or is it God? It definitely was God, and it was Mary. And tomorrow I will go to the National Day of Prayer, which I did not remember, and I will be there tomorrow, and that pastor will be leading that National Day of Prayer. Mm. So I just hope somebody else hears my story and know the power of Mary and the power of God and not to give up. And I'm so thankful.
Yeah. Now I can hear it in your voice, Carol. That, you know, that's awesome. You know, oftentimes we petition the Lord and we don't hear quite that quick, you know, to get it.
Well, I normally, I pray to Mary every day, and I try to keep the faith, and I'm struggling. I've been struggling for about 4 weeks, struggling with this sadness, and God has been giving me the strength, but this was an unbelievable blessing, and I will be there at noon tomorrow for my National Day of Prayer. And Father, you're the one that introduced me into the phrase, is it odd or is it God? And I... Father McKay, I'm very grateful. I'm listening and being inspired, of course, by Maximilian Kolbe, by you, everything you said, by Mary. And I won't keep you any longer, but I did want to share that moment so people know that, you know, it's God, it's Mary, and I was touched, and not to give up.
Amen. Thanks, Carol, for the call. We appreciate it. Father?
God bless you. God bless you.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Thanks, Carol. I was just listening to you, and thank you for taking the courage to call. And
you're
right, honor God, and there's no coincidences, only God incidences, and how the Lord made that all happen for you. And yet, you sharing that on the radio, and all the listeners are hearing that.
I needed to share it because I needed
take much courage when I heard, to call in.
Especially the rosary.
Yeah.
Especially the rosary.
Beautiful.
Ironically enough, I lost my rosary on Easter. I don't know
really
what that means,
so
but I have another one. You know, I have another one. I've only had the other rosary for 50 years. I just hope somebody who found it will be using it. And I think maybe that is what will happen.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 All right,
God
Carol.
God bless you, Carol.
Thank you, and I'm listening.
All right, we appreciate it, dear. Be good. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right.
What a wonderful call, Ken.
Yeah. And, you know, I think these things go on all the time, and I say it all the time. We as Catholics, you know, we stink at opening up to other people and sharing what God's done in our lives. If we did, you know, just think about how much more people would be inspired.
Yeah.
And I know that the people that you've touched and I've been able to touch as a result of this, you know, a simple phrase, you know, is that odd or is that God? There's people all over southeastern Pennsylvania, South Jersey that, and I'm sure maybe even around the world now that have heard it in one way or another. But, you know, it is. It's life-changing when you realize that God does do things in our lives. When we ask, it can be a life-changing event. And when we share it with other people, it gives them the hope and the courage to even ask. So...
Yeah.
That's why we do it. And we got about a little under 2 minutes before we go to the break, but I want to give out the phone numbers again. When we come back from our break, we'll have the official Is That Odd or Is That God segment. So if you have something you want to share, please give us a call, 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or toll free, 888-343-2484. We got about a minute before we go to the break, Father.
Yeah, I was just saying that we'll be going into, after the break, St. Pius V. So, you know, the Battle of Lepanto and, you know, the Rosary again, Ken.
Mm.
And here we are in the month of May talking about Mary and her Rosary. And we'll be able to talk about the Rosary and how to pray it even more deeply. And really, it's just so beautiful, this gift that we have with the Rosary. It brings us into the deep mysteries, but into that contemplation, right to the heart of God, where all the peace, where all the love, all the joy, and we become like God in that beautiful virtues of His that He shares with us through the Immaculata. Okay.
Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our break. If you got an honor God, give us a shout, 610-527-2906. We're just going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to InnerSign Radio Ministry since 1990, and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. Before we get back to our regular broadcasting, if you will, and our Odd But God segment, which we haven't gotten any calls yet, so if you're sitting on one, now's the time to call. In the meantime, just a quick update on what's going on with our Calyx Society. It's a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Father McKay and I and a bunch of others get together every Tuesday night in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia at our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson. We start with a short adoration period at 6 o'clock, followed by Mass and then our Calyx meeting. And we also have on the third Tuesday of the month is our Matt Talbot Holy Hour and Mass, which takes place in St. Gabriel's Church, also at the corner of 29th and Dickinson, right across the street from our ministry. There we begin at 6 o'clock with a holy hour and then a mass. During the holy hour, confessions are heard, and we offer the prayers and the mass for all those in recovery, all those that still struggle with addiction, and all those whose lives have been impacted by addiction. So all are more than welcome to join us. This month, that third Tuesday will be May the 16th. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock p.m. in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be tomorrow night, May the 4th. The unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media meets on the second Saturday of the month. They attend the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass, and then the Calyx meeting follows. They will meet on Saturday, May the 13th this month. The unit at my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside meets on the third Saturday of the month. We join the parish for the 8:30 a.m. Mass, followed by our Calyx meeting. The meeting at St. Luke's will be on Saturday, May the 20th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting, and they will meet on Saturday, May the 27th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, we have a unit that meets every Wednesday at St. Matthew's. They have Mass at 6:15 p.m., followed by the Calyx meeting there. Lastly, we'll be joined in a 5 o'clock hour by Marlene Watkins, and she's written a book called Everyday Miracles of Lourdes. So Marlene will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. So that being said, we want to thank Carol again for her call in the first half of the show. Unfortunately, we haven't gotten any calls in this half, but I do have a couple to share. First, we had a great morning out at Saints Peter and Paul Cemetery on Sunday. Our House Ministries, a while back, purchased a number of plots to help people bury the cremated ashes of their loved ones, especially those that have died from overdose or drug-related deaths. And on Sunday, we had a mass at the chapel there at Saints Peter and Paul. And I was telling folks earlier today when we got out there, or last night at the meeting, rather, I got out there a little bit early on Sunday and when scoping things out to see what was already there and what we needed to make use of when we brought the rest of the supplies. I was saw a pedestal that was behind the altar and below the large crucifix. And when I looked on there, what did I find but a dime? And, you know, just the reassurance that we're, you know, doing the right thing. And, you know, always excited to find those dimes. The second one happened on Monday. I had a bunch of us had gotten Gregorian masses for Patrick's sister when she passed. And I kept waiting for the notification from the Pious Union of St. Joseph that we purchased them from. And a letter never came. And then on Monday I get a card from a Bill Johnson in Virginia who apparently the Pious Union sent my letter to him by mistake. And he forwarded the letter to me along with a beautiful card, you know, explaining that this is the second time that it's happened where he's gotten other people's letters. And went on to write about how he was introduced to the Pious Union when his 27-year-old son had committed suicide. And in there he mentions his son's name, which was Brendan. And those that have been listening for the last month or so, we prayed earlier for Luke Tuhill. And he took the confirmation name Brendan just a couple of weeks ago when Father confirmed him in the hospital. So, that, you know, the whole thing was, you know, is that odd or is that God? And then coming out here today, I was running a little bit early, so I decided to stop at Dunkin' Donuts here on Lancaster Pike and grab a cup of coffee. And I go in, and the gentleman that waits on me is wearing a crucifix around his neck along with a miraculous medal and another medal, which I didn't get a close enough look at to figure out what it was. And I happen to have my crucifix on, and I say to the guy, oh, nice crucifix. And he saw mine. He goes, oh, I like yours too. Where'd you get it? And I said, oh, it came from St. Rita's, you know, the shrine down on Broad Street. And he's like, oh, I used to live near St. Rita's and go there all the time. And I said, oh, we have a shrine over in St. Gabriel's now too in the Grace Ferry neighborhood for Matt Talbot. And he gave me a look like, who's Matt Talbot? And, you know, so I started explaining him that, you know, he's an Irish guy and, you know, born in 1856, you know, drunk as a teenager, swore off when he was 28 and, you know, became a mystic. And he was like, I'm not sure I know who he is. And I said, maybe you've heard of him through the, you know, if you're ever going to a retreat house, Matt Talbot retreats. And he's like, nah. He said, wait a minute. Was he the guy that was standing outside the bar waiting for his friends to buy him a drink and nobody did? And I said, yeah, that's him. And so he talked just for a minute or two and then getting ready to leave because there were the other customers. And he went out of his way to come down to the end of the counter. And he looks at me and he says, oh, by the way, my name's Brian. And I was like, oh, I'm Ken. I said, I do radio shows around the corner here. And he's like, well, do me a favor. Stop in again. I'd like to talk to you. And it was the fact that we were both wearing crucifixes around our neck. And on the outside of our garments. So, you know, sometimes I think, and I'm guilty of this, depending on where I'm going and what I'm doing, I may, you know, take it off. And, you know, for the most part out in public, I have it on all the time now. And it's those little things that people notice and ask questions about. And if you see somebody else that's wearing something that makes them out to be Catholic, especially if it's a crucifix that's a cross with the corpus on it, which is usually a Catholic thing, or a miraculous medal or some other depiction of our Blessed Mother, strike up that conversation. You never know where it's going to lead. And I've been really emphasizing lately, in whether it's been talking to Calyx meetings amongst friends here on the radio, I think a couple of weeks ago, about how great God is at connecting the dots. When we get to heaven, don't ever play a game of connect the dots with him, because he's going to beat you every time, because he's so good at it. He puts all the right people in our lives at just the right time. He's never early. He's never late. Always right on time. And it's funny how, people will pick up on, some of these subtle things we do or say or wear. And, again, you never know where it's going to lead when, that conversation gets struck. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Just thinking about my honor, God, on May the 1st, during the month of St. Joseph, but dedicated to the Blessed Mother as well, Ken.
Mm.
And you're talking about witness, the cross, the crucifix, and how that started a conversation. But I always see myself as a priest to wear the collar, especially in public places, marketplaces, wherever you go. In fact, I know my collar saved my life one time when I was almost robbed, and I was surrounded by some drug addicts with guns, and they saw the collar. And they said, "Oh, Father, we're sorry." I said, "Well, you should be sorry for anybody." But anyway, my honor God was, I'm in the Acme, and I had my collar on, and people would come up all the time, and I had my miraculous medal outside, and they always make a remark about the miraculous medal. I always carry extra ones in my pocket. I said, "Well, here's one for you." And I got talking to this guy from St. Richard's, Michael, and he was like behind me, and he saw the collar, and he said, "Oh, yeah, Father," we get talking. And then he recognizes me from St. Richard's. And, I'm going through my food, and they're registering everything up, the costs and all. And it's like the Blessed Mother's right next to me and saying to me, "He's going to take the check for you," And I had this strong feeling. And next thing I know, he's pulling out his credit card. He's putting it in there, and he pays the bill for me. And I get talking to him, and I take out a miraculous medal. I said, "Michael, this is for you, and keep the change." I never said to Michael, you know, that I know you were going to do this, because the Blessed Mother told me so. But again, Ken, it's wearing our collars, as priests, and the witnessing to him. That's what we call our clerical shirts. They're witness shirts. And sometimes people don't say anything, but when they see that, or they see the crucifix on you, or they see the Sacred Heart badge for the pioneers, God will do something. And I might not even know it, but he will. Mm. Because they're signs of our faith. And you mentioned that today, Ken, about how we share our faith, and how beautiful that really is. But also, what I really wanted to say, I wanted to get back to Carol, because you had mentioned her when you started. And I meant to say this. I always say it's the effects of original sin. When Carol hung up, it hit me that she said she was struggling. And I wanted to say to her, and I know Carol's listening, that we grow in our struggles. It's our struggles that we reach for God the most. And there was a poem that came to mind, and I found that, in our struggles, in our crosses, because we're always in the shadow of the cross. We're always with Mary at the foot of the cross. It's where all of our enemies are conquered. The devil's back is broken. The celebration of the Mass, behold the Lamb of God, and all the beautiful graces come from us. But the Mass and the crucifixion goes on in our hearts. It's perpetual for all time. There's only one Mass, and we're always present to it. So the cross of Jesus, wherever our struggles may be, I just want to say this for Carol, for this poem, and it's titled, "Hang It on the Cross." If you have a secret sorrow, a burden or a loss, an aching need for healing, hang it on the cross. If worry steals your sleep and makes you turn and toss, if your heart is feeling heavy, hang it on the cross. Every obstacle to faith or doubt you come across, every prayer unanswered, hang it on the cross. For Christ has borne our brokenness and dearly paid the cost to turn our trials to triumph, hanging on the cross. So, Carol, just know that in your struggles, you're coming closer to God, and God's coming closer to you through the Immaculata. Amen.
Amen. All right. The only mistake you made, Father, was when he pulled out his credit card. You should have said, "Hold on, I got to run back to the I got to run back to the meat section to get a couple of Filet Mignons. I forgot."
Well, it was quite a few dollars, I'll tell you, Ken. Yeah, you know, I would have said that if it was just a few things.
Yeah, nah. All good, good. All right. Well, apparently God hasn't done a whole lot here in southeastern Pennsylvania in the last couple of weeks, so. We're going to move. That's right. We're going to move on.
What happened to Boston Bob and our other Bob? I thought he said last night he was going to call in.
Yeah, he says that every week.
He's listening, you know. And
I was expecting a call from George too.
George too. Call out the names.
Yeah,
you know?
That's all right. We'll beat up on George at breakfast tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
And now he probably won't show up.
No.
But anyway.
That's right. Mass at St. Richard's and then breakfast. I look forward to that breakfast.
Yeah.
We passed the word. Michael Norton, maybe he's listening. I was impressed with Michael Norton last night when he was sharing that calyx. How he prays the rosary, Ken, in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, you see, when we share our faith, our hearts are touched, and we want to do it more.
That's right.
More. Yeah. You know, it's just so beautiful to have faith sharing. Protestant brothers and sisters do that so well.
Yep.
But one thing with us, Ken, with our Calyx Society, we do that all the time. We share our Catholic faith, and we're better off for it.
Yeah. No, and I've often thought, even in my own parish, so there's a 9:30 Mass and an 11:30 Mass. So you got from 10:30 to 11:30. Why not have somebody do a witness talk from 10:45 to 11:15? The people from the 9:30 can hang around. The people from the 11:30 can come early. And I get it sometimes that I think the main difference might be that we're always afraid that somebody's going to come out with something that goes against church teaching or what have you, and people will cringe or what have you, and I get it. Maybe it's something where you got to submit what you're going to say ahead of time. I remember when we were on retreat with Cardinal Burke and with the Knights of Immaculata a few years back. And at breakfast, so Cardinal Burke gave a talk on Friday night, and he basically read it to us. And a couple guys at breakfast on Saturday morning are like, "What the heck? This guy's a cardinal, and he's got to read his talk." And somebody jumped in and explained that he's got to make sure that what he says is all prepared, because if he happens to go off the cup, especially if he's being recorded, something gets out that. Anybody could, misconstrue and, just wants to, he's got to be careful. And maybe that's one of the reasons we don't do it. I hope not. But I can see where, our pastors or, priests might, fear getting in trouble if, something comes out that perhaps shouldn't have. But if you submit it ahead of time and are told that you got to deliver what you've prepared, I don't see any reason why you can't do it. We can figure out a way to do it. But but in the meantime, do it. I think when we were younger, Father, we lived in neighborhoods that were full of Catholics, and our moms, at least my mother, didn't work. And she would talk over the fence to, and it's funny, their name was Mrs. Lutz. We lived next door to the Lutzes in Orland, or Mrs. Wade on the other side, Mrs. Irwin, Mrs. Meyer. And a lot of these women were home all day, and they did their sharing every day, talking about the kids, helping each other out. But nowadays, everybody's so busy that it doesn't happen as much. So, if we don't get started now, we'll never get to Pius the Fifth. So,
yeah,
all right. So let's bring. Yeah, I'll try to be brief, and then we'll get to you. He was born on January the 17th in the year 1504. And died on May the 1st in the year 1572. And if you think we have troubles in the world now and troubles in our church now, you should have been around when Pius V was Pope. He comes in, of course, in the 16th century after the Council of Trent. So he gets handed the documents and the reforms that came out of that. And on top of that, he's got the Turks that are threatening Europe. And he's got to implement the Council of Trent, which included all new seminaries. It was the Confrontatory of the Christian Doctrine. There was a new catechism. That's where CCD came from, the Council of Trent. And he's got to do all this as a new pope, and did it pretty well. And as you mentioned, one of the things he's probably most known for is that win that they had in Europe against the Turks in the Gulf of Lepanto, where he's outnumbered and ask all of Europe to start praying the rosary. And it turns out that they were able to organize a fleet. It was still much smaller than the Turkish fleet, but the way the winds turned and what have you, that the Europeans prevailed back then. Again, that was on October the 7th in the year 1571. One other notable thing is that the popes ever since him have worn white, and he wore it. He retained his Dominican garb when he was pope, and it's been since his papacy that the popes have always worn white. So that was Pope Pius V.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Pius V, you know, his whole theme, the papacy there when he came in, was the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1 and verse 15, that this is the time of fulfillment. The reign of God, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And, you know, he lacked gentleness and flexibility. He was stern. He was a tough man for tough times, Ken. Like you mentioned, the Council of Trent and doing those reforms. He had a lot of flack, you know, but, you know, he kept straight that narrow way. And he called the clergy back to the rectories, bishops back to the diocese, the new catechism, the duty of priest. On his election, he gave his money to the, you know, money, you know, the excess money to the hospitals, to the poor. He himself would go out and visit the sick. He did away with nepotism, which was, you were given high church positions because of relatives, cousins, nephews, uncles, aunts, and that was nepotism. He said put relatives at a distance, and but as you say, you know, Our Lady of Victory, October 7th, you know, Our Lady of the Rosary, it would change Our Lady of Victory to Our Lady of the Rosary. But there it is, you know, for ask everybody to pray the Rosary. And the battle was won, Ken. And I often think of this. It's not that the Christians beat up on the Turks or the Muslims or the Islamic factions. It was that the war ended and the bloodshed stopped. You know, Mother Mary is the mother of all the living. You know, Jew, Muslim, Gentile, Christians, Protestants, she's our mother. We're all God's children, you know, and all that's going to come true someday. But to pray the rosary, you know, it's so powerful, the rosary, and to hold the rosary when we can't pray. I said this story last night when a woman came up to me, 90 years old in confession, holding her rosary. She said, Father, I'm getting so elderly, I can't even pray the rosary anymore or finish it, but I hold it tightly in my hand when I go to sleep, and I feel that I'm holding our Blessed Mother's hand. And I said, you're a contemplative. You see, that's what the rosary leads us to. Deep prayer, Ken. Deep prayer. Deep immersion in God. Yes, they're Hail Marys. It's music in the background. It's a symphony. And then we meditate on the different mysteries. But then after the mysteries, we enter deeply into God. And it's almost like I forget the mysteries. And the next thing I know, like I might be saying, okay, the third joyful mystery, the nativity. And I'm thinking about the nativity, and next thing I know, the rosary's over. It's, oh, I didn't do it right because I didn't announce the presentation or the finding in the temple. No, it was done right. I'm not talking about distractions in the rosary where what am I going to eat and what am I going to wear and all this. They're distractions. But when I'm carried away, and the next thing I know, I come out of the temporal into the eternal. That's a contemplative rosary. That's what the popes speak about when we pray the rosary, that John Paul II would quote different popes and say, like Paul VI and all, that the rosary without contemplation is like a body without a soul. That if it's prayed right, it has to lead us verbal prayer, meditation, but then to end it in contemplation. And you know, I made a personal rosary, Ken, about the 50 straight Hail Marys on my rosary. It starts out traditionally, and I have an Our Father, and I'll do one mystery, like it'd be one, the Annunciation, the Fiat. And I stay in that one mystery for the next 50 Hail Marys. There's no breaks with a Glory Be or an Our Father, because I'm not ready to leave that one mystery. And so I usually get all the mysteries done. So I'm praying more Hail Marys than if I prayed the four decades. It's almost like five decades of the rosary. But even at night when I go to sleep, there it goes, you know. I'm just falling asleep, like on Mother Mary's lap, right into the heart of the Father. And there's peace, and there's joy. And I know this rosary is fruitful. And there's so many things we can do with our rosary. We should always hold that in our pocket. And the other thing that I'm amazed at, you know, I never remember having a viewing without somebody holding the rosary in their deceased hand. You know, it was always like the rosary was always there. I just end with this poem, Ken, about the rosary. A little pair of rosary beads, as plain can be, but only God in heaven knows how dear they are to me. I have them always with me at every step I take, at evening when I slumber, at morn when I awake. In bright and cloudy weather, in sunshine or in rain, in happiness or sorrow, in pleasure or in pain. It helps me in my struggle. It reproves me when in sin. It looks of gentle patience, rebukes the strife within. In days of pain and anguish, the greatest help I knew was to hold my rosary beads until I calmer grew. So when the time approaches when I will have to die, I hope my little rosary beads will close beside me lie, that the holy name of Jesus may be the last I say. And kissing my sweet rosary beads, my soul may pass away. Through the Immaculata, the chaste heart of St. Joseph, all the angels and saints, right through the heart of Jesus by the gift of the Holy Spirit to the heart of the Father, where we all come from, where we're going, where we all belong, with the Father, the Father, the Father. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen, Father. You know, you've taught me over the years how many different ways the rosary can be used. You know, you mentioned, you know, your 50 bead rosary for just concentrating on one mystery. I always remember the gratitude rosary, and I've passed that on a number of times, especially for people that are depressed and in need of hope. And one of the greatest ways to get that is to actually be grateful for what God has given you. And so going around those beads and coming up with 50 or 55 things that you're grateful for, and initially people may think that they'll never be able to do it, but if you really think about it, we have so much in life to be grateful for that it becomes rather easy to get all the way around the rosary with just Jesus, I am grateful for my wife. Jesus, I am grateful for my son, Matthew. I'm grateful for my daughter, Megan. I'm grateful to be employed. I'm grateful that I had breakfast this morning. You know, whatever, you know, all these little things that we can be grateful for. And so, you know, pull out that rosary. It can have many uses. And one of the things I've shared with people, when I first started praying the rosary after making a retreat back in 93, I thought I had to do it perfectly or it didn't count. And I get to the end of a decade, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, was that 8 Hail Marys or 9 Hail Marys or 10? Did I really do all 10? And I say, oh, man, I got to start all over again. I could be on the fourth decade, and I'm going back to the very beginning because I thought the prayer had to be perfect. So
it was perfect, right, Ken?
Yeah, amen. Now I know it was. It was just the way God wanted it.
Yep.
But we got just 30 seconds left, so can we get your blessing, Father? Sorry
in
about
the
that.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit,
amen. Amen.
Oh, God, our Father, we praise you for all the blessings, for your Son, for your Holy Spirit, and the gift of Mother Mary and St. Joseph, all the angels and saints, all who preach the, proclaim the Holy Gospel, that we're all your children, we're your one eternal family. So all those who are listening, all of us, Lord, just bond our hearts together in that divine love of yours, and keep us close to you always and everywhere through the Immaculata St. Joseph and all the angels and saints, and bless us all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And God bless everyone, Ken.
All right, thanks, Father. For our listeners, don't go away. We'll be back after the break with Marlene Watkins, and we'll be talking about our book, Everyday Miracles of Lourdes.